Hey, it's Canzano. I appreciate you making this podcast part of your day. Make sure you subscribe if you want more and leave us some feedback. Away we go.
Initialize sequence.
Welcome to The Baldcast, a production of John Canzano's Bald-Faced Truth.
Super Bowl coming up Sunday. We'll talk about Alexa and her Super Bowl pick later in the show. Ridiculous. Kyle Turley played in the NFL, 9 seasons in the NFL. Five in New Orleans, the Rams, the Chiefs. This is a guy who played at a high level for a long time. First team All-Pro, and has got a project going on he wants to talk about, but. Also, we're going to talk some football with Kyle Turley. Where are you today, Kyle Turley?
Hey, I appreciate you having me. I'm in Southern California, you know, unfortunately not down there in Tampa this year with the COVID and all. And, you know, the word of Radio Row not being really anything this year. It was kind of dwindling last year. So I'm in Southern Cal, man, just enjoying this sunny weather out here.
Give us an idea, like, because I know you played at like 310 pounds in your playing career. Like, size wise, did you keep the weight on after your career ended, or have you slimmed down?
It's been a roller coaster for me, honestly. But I try to stay lean as possible. But yeah, you know, I just found a lot of therapy lately and lifting heavy weights again and working out a little bit more on the bodybuilder side. Yeah, look a little better these days. We've got a bit more knowledge than we had in the past. Everything was just powerlifting. Now we understand a bit more how to, you know, build this muscle, to put all that weight on and squat 600 pounds and deadlift, you know, 1,200 pounds and all these crazy things we used to do.
I am looking at this matchup in the Super Bowl. Who do you like?
Obviously, you know, my Chiefs, I'm a Chief at heart, having those 2 years there at the end of my career. And but the destiny of Tom Brady, come on, you can't bet against a guy. And, you know, the things that the Chiefs are having to deal with right now with their offensive line, although it's the COVID times and guys have been able to, you know, get more playing time this year than in years past, likely because of having to fill in over this COVID thing. And I don't think guys are going to be coming off the bench. There's some talent there, and there's the ability, having the Super Bowl being under this cloud of COVID, not the loud stadium and all those things, being able to hear Patrick Mahomes. I think that offensive line will bring it together, and they're, you know, opportunities right in front of them, and a lot of guys step up and shine, and that's why you got backups.
In the run up to the Super Bowl, we got this 2 weeks, off, of course, and Jason Pierre-Paul took a shot at Mike Remmers, the left tackle for the Chiefs. He said he didn't know his name, didn't know who he was. You're an offensive lineman. Is that bulletin board material, or at this level, is there such a thing?
I thought it was fun. I'd be like, great, this is awesome. You know, I mean, there's nothing better than to be the underdog. There's nothing better than to be the guy that they don't see, you know. And if I'm a young player, I'm a player in the league as a veteran, there's that opportunity to surprise somebody, and then you just take them out of their game completely. So, you know, if those are the statements that those guys want to make, thinking they're, you know, somebody, it'd be good to be the guy that's nobody and have them say that about you, because then the expectation is not there. And that guy's got all the weight on his shoulders now to back it up, have to back it up. You know? So a pretty good scenario, bulletin board material if you want, but, you knew it was coming the minute your left tackle went down. So I don't think it's any surprise to them.
Kyle Turley, our guest, former All-Pro NFL offensive lineman. You know, after football, you have not been one of those guys that struggles with what to do. You've got a band, you're a musician, you're finding some health advocacy platforms that you're using. Let's talk about the band first. What was the origin of that? Did you always play?
I've always played music, but, you know, music and my whole band career out of Nashville after I retired. moved to Nashville, lived there for 7 years, went after it hard because I didn't, you know, think there was anything else for me to do there. So my wife was from Tennessee, and I just went out, grabbed my guitar, and went down to all the open mics at the Blue Burn and Kimbrough's and all the other spots out in Leaper's Fork and Puckett's Grocery and everywhere else that all the guys start out. And, you know, I did my rounds and realized it's something I could do. Yeah, put the same dedication towards it as I did football, and good things happen. But at the end of the day, I was escaping a lot, and my health was an issue. I had to get back to California to, you know, hear what my people, what my friends were talking about with this medical cannabis opportunity and getting off these pills. And that's what I did. Didn't look back, and you know, stayed with the music here in Southern California, here and there, played a few shows. Just not the same as, you know, the opportunities back in Nashville and in the South and from Nashville. Just the flower touring patterns you can take out of there every weekend, you know, and go to different little towns that meet people in bars to play music. So it's been a great opportunity to be able to have these things, but to say the least, it's been a struggle, you know, health-wise, and recovering myself lately over the last 5 years through cannabis, not being on one opiate, not an aspirin, nothing. I mean, and enjoying the life I've been able to have, creating other companies and doing other things. You know, it's a distraction away from a lot of the stuff that's really happening. I probably should just take it off and not be doing these things because I get, you know, run down pretty quickly these days, this bad brain. But cannabis is the answer, and that's what I'm here to say for sure. It's the only reason I'm still moving, doing so well.
Kyle Turley, our guest, you've been diagnosed with CTE. That's scary. Early onset Alzheimer's, that's scary. You've talked about painkillers and pills and how addictive they are and how, you know, the NFL staff will dispense those to players. You're now, as you mentioned, advocating for cannabis. You said in an interview, you said cannabis saved your life. Tell me how it saved your life.
Well, yeah, I mean, we didn't always end. And you've been facing, you know, a growing plethora of pharmaceuticals on your countertop to where you sit and one day realize I've been on these things and they've been growing in numbers for over 20 years. And you've got a beautiful wife and kids at home and money and cars and everything else that you just shouldn't have these problems of, you know, sitting around and being happy. You know, and living in this dream world that we get to enjoy, having played a kid's game for a king's ransom. And, you know, that was it. It was me at my wit's end, you know, suicidal, homicidal, having all kinds of neurological issues going on. And I got down on my knees and I prayed to God for another opportunity, and this plant was given to me. So, you know, that I was able to get out and stay free from these opiates now for 6 years using cannabis alone and have everybody around me recognize, man, I just don't see it. I don't see that you're high ever. I don't see that you use cannabis like you say you do every day. And that's because I found it, you know. And if you go on the search, you can find it and get your life back. And that's, you know, what I've done in starting my own CBD company is spreading that word. You can go to neuroxpf.com, order CBD to your doorstep at all 50 states from hemp, and get that base level knowledge of how cannabis used daily can start impacting your life in a positive way.
Do you think the NFL should do a better job with that? Because, you know, if you pointed out, like, how rampant is the pill distribution, or how was it when you were playing?
Well, I mean, it's still there. It was obviously, in my era, it was the height of it. I mean, half the pharmaceuticals we were on consistently got ripped off the shelves and are illegal, you know, because they were killing people in record numbers. So, you know, we're at the height of the pharmaceutical, you know, rise. And now, even today, still, with all of the evidence and how horrible these things are, they're still the number one thing prescribed to people for pain. They're still the number one thing prescribed to people for anxiety and stress and inflammation and all these other things out of them, from NFL players to, you know, everybody in line at the Walgreens here, you know, down the street. That's the fallacy. And that, you know, cannabis has this opportunity is amazing. If people would listen to it and understand it, and it's not about getting high, it's about being healthy and, you know, putting inside your body what it is it needs. And that is something that the government has even patented, and cannabinoid patents that exist as anti-inflammatories and neuroprotectants, because we have this cannabinoid system in our body, the the pills were a nightmare, unbelievably difficult to get off of. Finally was able to do it through cannabis. Never will I ever go back. Not one surgery, not anything will ever get me to take another pill in my life.
Kyle Turley, 9 years in the NFL. You know, you have talked about CTE and early onset Alzheimer's. When did you know something wasn't right?
Early on in my career, I unfortunately had this experience that a lot of guys are just getting to. I don't know if my brain is more susceptible to that inherently. I'm not sure. There's a lot of studies out there going on about this that link hereditary natures, potentials, and having a worse outcome to these bad brain injuries. And I have documented concussions, but these things are surfacing in real time in my life every day. As a rookie, starting to have episodes of vertigo constantly. They would take me to practice, throw me in a dark room, turn on the AC, tell me to go to sleep. I would wake up after the team was done with practice, watch film, and I wouldn't be puking anymore and all dizzy. And they tested me for everything under the sun, Meniere's disease, all these other things. These are real things that were happening to me consistently every year that alarm these NFL doctors, but they never, would talk about it until, the end here when it got exposed through Dr. Amalu and Ann McKee and the great group in Boston with Chris Nowinski and everybody out there that has just forwarded this progress on understanding this brain disease and it's inherent in this sport. I went to those people. I've had the brain scans. I know what's going on. I've seen the damage done. It's quite scary, but I've been able to find an unbelievable resolution in using cannabis and dealing with this neurological scenario based on this head trauma, where I have been for 5-6 years, not one episode of vertigo, no more light sensitivity. We started this company and combining our efforts with Jim McMahon, Ricky Williams, and Evan Britton. We're all experiencing the same things. Jim McMahon's taking the sunglasses off now. He doesn't need them as much because his eyes are getting better. There's the true science that speaks to why it works, and we're here to share that for everybody's benefit.
Kyle Turley, I appreciate you, man. You're fighting a good fight, and keep doing it. Stay healthy, man.
Thank you. I appreciate the time. Thank you so much. Go Chiefs.
Former NFL player Kyle Turley, who literally says that cannabis saved his life. And he had this reputation of being a guy who was a hothead. Some people said he was a dirty player. We can all remember him throwing the helmet in that game against the Jets. And kind of losing his mind, and now hearing him kind of speak about the pills that he was taking, addicted to pain pills, the brain injury. He's been diagnosed with CTE. He has been diagnosed with early onset Alzheimer's. You got an opportunity to get him on the show. We get him on the show. Later in the program, Tim DeRuiter, the defensive coordinator for the Oregon Ducks. Leave it right here. You got the bald-faced truth. I like people who have nice brains, people who think. That's why I've never felt that the divide between athletics and academics should quite be what it is made out to be on some college campuses. But it is the subject of today's Big Splash and the one thing that you need to know.
This is
the one thing you absolutely need to know today.
Look at it. Where? Down there. Must be
the Big Splash. Brought to you by the Exogen Twice Daily Thermometer.
The Faculty Senate at Washington State is outraged because there is a proposed subsidy that is up for a vote. The subsidy would be for the Athletics Department at Washington State. The Faculty Senate is telling John Wilner of the Bay Area News Group that there's no evidence connecting wins to enrollment and donations. There's no correlation that says when you win games that enrollment goes up, that it's better for the university. Well, if you're somebody out there that tracks such things, You know that the enrollment rose after Oregon State beat Notre Dame in the Fiesta Bowl, and you know that the enrollment rose at Oregon when the Ducks played in the national championship game. And that's not to mention the brand and the intangible benefits that universities garner from having successful sports teams. I can't say Kentucky without you thinking about basketball. I can't say Alabama without you seeing Nick Saban or a Crimson Tide football player. So you can't tell me that the Kentucky basketball team isn't doing something for the University of Kentucky's brand. And you can't tell me that Alabama and Nick Saban aren't doing something for the brand of Alabama and the university campus. Same goes for Washington State, Oregon, across the Pac-12 footprint. I'm not saying that university campuses should be in the business of heavily subsidizing athletics, but let's have a separate conversation. If you tell me that the sports team's performances and the brand of your teams have nothing to do with enrollment, you're not paying attention. Just look at all the kids nationally who were once upon a time watching Oregon change uniforms and going, oh, I want to go to Oregon. What city is that in? What state do the Ducks play in? Oh, they're in Oregon. Okay, they're in Eugene. Oh, let me find out about Eugene. It became a thing. There were kids in Mississippi who were like, Oregon's my favorite football team. Have you ever been there? No. I want to go to the University of Oregon. In the end, if the faculty senate at Washington State simply doesn't want to subsidize athletics, just say so. But don't try to pretend that the athletics team's performances have nothing to do with gift giving, have nothing to do with enrollment, and frankly, have nothing to do with the brand of the university, because those would be three blatant lies. Truth is, athletics does drive the bus on some campuses and matters on most in the Division I world. And at Washington State, where they are facing a $90 billion deficit in their athletic department, they're asking the university to help make them up with a subsidy for students that will be able to get tickets. Well, that's another debate. But don't try to pretend that those things don't matter. That's the one thing that you need to know. We do it every day on the show. Kyle Turley was on earlier. I want to go around the room a little bit. We got Peter and Zach in today. And I want to talk about what he was saying. How big of a problem, how surprising was it to hear Kyle Turley talk about pill use? Or does everybody kind of know that that's out there?
Yeah, I mean, going back, you know, even a couple decades, Brett Favre talking about, you know, getting sick from you taking too many painkillers and then picking through it. I mean, it's a violent game. Guys are getting hurt even when they're not quote-unquote injured. You're constantly hurting. I'm not surprised that it's even bigger than maybe what we hear and assume.
Yeah, yeah. And, you know, these pills that they're talking about in the NFL and most major sports, it's not a surprise to me, John. It's big pharma. They like to push these things. It's a Band-Aid fix to me, John. And, you know, from my perspective, I'm a big fan of Eastern medicine and, you know, natural remedies and things like that. And when he talks about cannabis and CBD, that's something that I'm fairly knowledgeable about as well, and I believe in that much more than pills. I understand that that stuff can be very, very addicting to an athlete because it's just handed out routinely all the time because of the pain and because of the physical contact that they experience in the sport. So, you know, I think what he's talking about is a good thing, and I do hope that the NFL continues to listen to things like that and gets a little bit more you know, innovative in the way that they approach pain medicine and tolerance and the things that they provide for these athletes.
Stigma of marijuana is gone, right? I mean, you look around the country and legislation legalizing marijuana across states is, you know, it's a wave, right? And it started really on our side of the country and then it, you know, went everywhere. And I really haven't seen the problems that some people, the people who are anti-marijuana being legalized, feared that kids in school and we're gonna have access to marijuana, you're gonna have all this you're gonna have all these problems. I have seen tax revenue that's been generated, and I've talked to people anecdotally like Kyle Turley who say, hey, this is helpful to me, and the CBD and the additional, you know, creams and oils and stuff like that that people are using. There are people who are aging, arthritic, people who have different diseases or afflictions and who swear by the stuff. I also think, like, I remember a conversation I had with an NBA general manager several years ago, and it was at the time in which, you know, the Jailblazers era was kind of winding down. we were all writing about the yellow Hummer. We were writing about Damon Stoudemire carrying, you know, marijuana through an airport metal detector. And, you know, literally, I think you could really still talk about how dumb it was to try to carry marijuana through an airport metal detector with aluminum foil. And you could talk about how foolish it was to be, you know, cruising down I-5, leaving a Sonics Blazers game in that yellow Hummer with, you know, weed, you know, out the window, or we smoked it all, as Cliff Harris once upon a time famously said. But I think what I learned at that time from, you know, people in the NBA world was that the coaches and the GMs were not as concerned about marijuana as they were about alcohol. And I can remember this general manager telling me, you know, you guys are writing about the wrong stuff. He said, because the league cracks down on marijuana use, the players are turning to alcohol. It's way worse than what marijuana would be. Like, we've got an alcohol problem in the league. And I, you know, and I do take exception a lot to the NBA's drug testing policy, because I think it's kind of a joke. It's you know, it's made to never have anybody have a positive test. But I like what the league has done in more recent years with softening its stance towards, you know, marijuana use and players being able to medicate a little bit, because I think, you know, we don't all understand the rigors of 82 games in a postseason and injuries and trying to recover. And I don't want athletes turning to pills and addiction, and I don't want athletes turning to alcohol. And so if you can find, as Kyle Turley has in retirement, some kind of peace and some kind of remedy with the use of cannabis, you know, it's a legal issue. It's not a medicinal thing anymore. Like, you know, legally, people can, you know, can buy and use in a lot of states, and pretty soon will be all over the country. So I support what Kyle Turley's doing. Full disclosure, he said, you know, I wanted to get him on the show, and he said, can I talk about cannabis? And I said, yeah. I said, but the whole interview can't be about cannabis. And he said, fine, we'll talk whatever you want to do. And then, you know, when you're ready to talk about cannabis, you just ask me about cannabis. And I said, okay, because I do think, like, there's some public service in hearing that a guy who's got early onset Alzheimer's, a guy who had battled, he was addicted to opioids, he was addicted to the painkillers, a guy who had battled all of that, diagnosed with CTE, that's scary stuff, has found some peace for himself. Like Kyle Turley, that crazy guy throwing his helmet on the field, has found a little bit of peace and harmony. And I think that's a good thing. All right, coming up in the 1 o'clock hour, we're going to start with Punch It Audio. And also, what Alexa says about the Super Bowl. I found out this morning that Alexa does not like Tom Brady. I'll play some of that coming up. Recorded my own Alexa in my own house talking about Brady. Also, Tim DeRuiter, the defensive coordinator at Oregon, will be along to talk about, you know, his...
We interrupt this broadcast with a special announcement from the Bald Face.
Hey, sorry to interrupt the podcast, but if you want to listen to more of the Bald Face Truth Radio Show, including more of this segment that you're listening to, make sure you subscribe on SoundCloud and iTunes to the Bald Face Truth Radio Show. Thanks for listening.